Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by a thousand miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and I am sitting across from a man who should be wearing black. He's not, but he should be.
That's fair. That's fair.
Did not go his way, Tommy. What's up, man?
Not much. Still boring. Obviously my morning phase over the Astros, and then hearing from it from Chad, who's a Braves fan, has just made it that much worse.
That's awful.
It's already bad enough, but then you have to deal with Chad, and it just magnifies everything, by 10. So feel bad for me about that more than anything else. So
if the Braves knew that Chad was a fan, they would probably relocate or disband or something. Yeah. that makes no sense. That is the most Southern baseball team that there is. And Chad's a fan. That's wow.
Yeah. However it happened, it happened. So here we are. But that said, not the worst time still to be an Astros fan, obviously. Would have been better to win another World Series, but we do have one recently, three World Series appearances in the last 5-6 years, whatever it is pretty good. And both times they've lost, losing to the Nationals and then losing to the Braves this time. Those are teams, you kind of end up getting behind. You're like, I could see how you can root for them, you're not I hate this team, in part because it's all American League teams that I hate. So by the time the Astros make it to the World Series, that means that they've gotten through all the teams I don't kind of by definition. And so whoever the National League team is, I'm just kind of okay, cool. I dig the National League. The Astros were in the National League for years and years and years before switching over. And so I always root for the National League outside of the Astros. And so,
We talked about last show why Atlanta was such a big deal when we were growing up, and it's a very Southern thing to be an Atlanta Braves fan, and I could probably get with the Braves except for watching the playoffs and the World Series. I've determined that I hate the tomahawk chop.
Yeah.
That is the worst thing in baseball. I hate it. I'm screaming at the TV, screaming at the fans, do you know how stupid you look?
Yeah.
And the whole crowd's doing it with the thing. And I'm okay, you can do it once, twice, whatever. But it goes on for 45 minutes, that crap. I can't watch that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely not my thing either. Outside of that, I like most of the other things. Growing up, obviously, the Braves were such a big deal in the 90s when they were good again. And I hated them then. I root against them all the time then. But they were so good, and they had the Smoltz and Maddox and Glavine and just these amazing pitchers that were so fun to watch. And Greg Maddox to this day is still one of my all-time favorite players, just watching him pitch. I was thrilled when he went to the Cubs. and I could root for him then because I didn't hate the Cubs the same way I hated the Braves. And so, but All that aside, I just saw today Dusty Baker's coming back for next year, so that's a good sign. Let's see if they can sign Carlos Correa. We'll make another run at it.
Yeah, somebody gonna have to come up with some money because I believe that dude's gonna get a bag.
Yeah, no joke.
Yeah,
I'm real curious too if this is turning into the Astros podcast. Apologize for that, but I'm really curious if Verlander tries to come back as well. He's older than I am and was out with. After Tommy John this year, but I mean, with the anticipation of coming back. And so if he came back, if, man, they're just getting old. Greinke is old, but good still. I mean, he was the best pitcher they had in the World Series. And so if they could get Greinke, and Verlander back and McCullers is healthy, and, that, yeah, I mean, they got a shot.
That's the thing that they lack. I hate to say it because baseball's my least favorite sport, but I do pay attention. They didn't have the pitching, and this new baseball where it's all bullpen all the time. Not a fan of that.
Yeah, that's not how it should work. Even in the playoffs, it was just both of those teams specifically were so beaten up on pitching staff wise, you know, that Charlie Morton went out there and pitched on a broken leg for an inning, you know,
that was awesome.
That was nuts, which I'm a big fan of that dude. Cause he used to be an Astro. It was great with the Astros a few years back. And so, yeah, pitching on a broken leg, you've got my respect there. So, hey, we're a gaming podcast. Did you know that?
Well, we are a gaming podcast, but I got to tell you the story, okay? So I went to get the chair worked on, and you're supposed to, when you get the chair worked on, to make an appointment. You know, they set up, they make sure that they're there, whatever. But as normally happens with lots of places, I couldn't get anybody to answer the phone because it's all non-local now. Like, you got to call somebody in San Antonio to make an appointment to go get your chair worked on in Amarillo. And so I did this for 3 weeks in a row. And then finally on Monday, I'm just like, I'm done. And did the Jamie Jordan thing and just walked in. And the lady was like, do you have an appointment? And I'm like, nope. And she was like, well, you really need an appointment. I said, look, I got a problem here, right? And so it turns out that the guy that was supposed to have the appointment when I was there did not show up. So it worked out. Like, I got some work done. It's all good. But while I'm sitting there, I'm talking to one of my favorite people who works there, by the name of Rhonda, and I call myself her favorite client because I'm big and I'm loud and you always know when I'm there. It doesn't matter what she's doing, if she's on the phone or whatever, she can't focus when I'm in the building. And I made the mistake of telling Rhonda that we have a podcast. And I said, you need to listen because it's for everybody. We talk about all the stuff. And I just proved myself right.
There you go.
We talked about baseball. We talk about life stuff. It's not just a gaming podcast.
That's right.
We like games, but we talk about other stuff too.
This is true. And hi, Rhonda. Glad you're listening.
Yeah.
If you showed up for this one, welcome to the show. All that said, we do got a lot of news to cover. Not the most fun news day, but I think there'll be lots of interesting conversation with it, including just a ton of stuff from Take-Two. A bunch of Take-Two stuff that has popped into the world. And so a bunch of Take-Two stuff, some Activision Blizzard stuff. And so kind of all over the place there. In the midst of that, there's also this 15-minute long Elden Ring gameplay preview. And so that
I did not watch that, by the way. I should have.
Fair enough. It's interesting. And we'll obviously discuss more around that. And so a few other things here and there, including a new Marvel game that's coming at some point. Lots of good stuff there. We also got to talk one last time about Metroid because it's now officially done.
Well, it's now officially done, and we've got another vote on the Facebook page for Game of the Year. So it makes me feel like that we're not that far out. It really is that good.
Yeah.
And now having finished it, I can say it really is that good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. So we'll talk about that more here in just a second. Before that, big thanks to the Patreon guys. Cabbage Jose, Narc Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew. Thank you guys as always. Your support means the world to us. And if you would like to support us on Patreon as well, you can go by gaminguncensored.com and click that Become a Patron link, at which point you will get the video version of this podcast on your Patreon feed, which is fun. and you'll get some bonus content every once in a while as well.
We are so not video people. We're just not. We're doing this and it's cool. Like, I'm glad that we have it. Yes. I'm glad that I can like see you. Right. I am so self-conscious of crap, am I drooling? And if I am drooling, how bad is the drool? And the other thing is like when I saw Rhonda the other day, the thing that came out of Rhonda's mouth was, "You've got more weight in your face. I like it." And now I'm totally paranoid. Do I have this like Jay Leno chin going on? This is not something that you worry about if you're doing audio.
That's right.
And now you notice I have more beard today. The beard is regrowing.
Nice.
And that's specifically because Rhonda told me I'm putting on weight. I figure if the dangling of chin is coming, I'm hiding it.
That's like, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea how many chins I have. I haven't ever seen them. There's more than one under here, but I don't know how many more. Doesn't really matter. That's the great thing about a beard.
I really am. I'm paranoid about the dangling of chin. Because I figure when I was born, God said, "I'm going to make him crippled, but I can't make him crippled and ugly." And so if I become crippled and ugly, I'm screwed. You know, like I got to do some things to mitigate that.
Yeah,
so,
for sure. That's fair. That's great. So all that said, let's talk about Metroid for a bit, because we do have to kind of wrap on that now that we finished. So first big bit of news on this is that we 100%ed it. We got everything, which really fun. Again, it's a game for me personally, because I'm not a completionist on games. It's a game that has to be compelling to complete, and the reason it's compelling to complete is because of the puzzle element of finding all of the items. The items themselves are great. You know, obviously it's helpful to be fully stocked going into the final boss fight, which did not disappoint. It was quite the fight.
It did not.
It took a while. So having every bit of energy you can, every missile you can, is a good thing. But two missiles here or there aren't going to change the trajectory of that final fight all that much. But figuring out how to get to them is a blast. And again, is the compelling part to me was just the puzzle aspect of it. And some of them are super easy. You just go, "Oh, yeah, look, set a bomb. There it is. Got it. Move on to the next one." But it's the ones specifically that are Shine Spark puzzles, which is all the hard ones are Shine Spark puzzles, which are just brutal sometimes. Those are the fun ones. Those are the ones that you feel accomplished when you finish them, and really made it worth getting all of those items to finish the game.
It's one of those games, and if you went to our YouTube page and watched any of this, like there's probably 5 to 7 hours of what's on YouTube that's totally and completely worthless because it's him trying to figure out a specific puzzle for like an hour and 40 minutes.
Yep.
And it's engaging for me to watch because it's not obvious. Like, we've been playing games for a long time, and you would think for as long as we've been playing games and for as long as most of you have been playing games, you can look at a puzzle and go, yeah, okay, I got it. These are not that. Yeah. You really had to work and you really had to figure it out. And there was at least a couple of those that it took most of that hour for me to mentally figure out, okay, he's got to stand here and he's got to be charged at this point. And if you're off by a split hair, it's not going to work. Yeah. And the one, if I had to use one word to describe Metroid, we're going to steal a little what's the word from PTI here. it would be satisfying.
Yes.
Metroid is extraordinarily satisfying. And I can say that because all of you know I did not have the controller in my hand. He was doing all the playing. But it was still satisfying to me because it makes you use your brain enough that you're not annoyed.
Yes.
I don't necessarily like those games that are brain games and that's what they're there for. And you know, you got to be really, really mentally focused and smart and all that crap to get. I don't enjoy those. This had that nice balance. And when you got through a puzzle or you got through a boss or you got through any aspect of it, you felt really good.
Yes. I hadn't put this together in my head before, but that exact point that you're making about it being satisfying, the other game that scratches this kind of same itch to me is Portal. And I've never thought about those two games, Metroid and Portal, kind of side by side or whatever. But Portal is very much the same way, that it's obviously heavily puzzle-based. But it's this balance of puzzle and execution. Because for a lot of those puzzles in Metroid, you spend a lot of time figuring out what you need to do. And then you're like, okay, I know what I need to do. Now I have to execute. And so then it becomes a gameplay thing, right? That you now have to actually make it happen. And Portal's the exact same way, that you walk into a room, you're like, how in the world am I going to make this happen? You start going kind of step by step through it. Okay, if this happens, this happens, this happens. Okay, I've got a plan. Now I've got to execute. And you spend the next however long trying to execute. And it's difficult enough that you have to do it a whole bunch of times, but not so difficult that you just don't ever succeed. Like, you just get a little bit farther each time. And there were so many times in Metroid that I'm like, I'm done with this one more time. You know, like, okay, I gotta go do something else. I'm gonna try this just one more time. And then you get a little bit farther and you're like, okay, I think I might get it this next time. So I'm just gonna do it one more time. And then that process. This is something I do in the studio all the time. Working with an artist in the studio, I never say, okay, just one more time. It's always, okay, one more time, right? Like, because you can do one more time for as long as you want, because you're still like leaving yourself open to do it again, kind of thing. And so it's that same thing in Metroid. I'm just like, I really need to go do this other thing, but just one more time, because this attempt is only going to take me, 20 seconds to fail. Okay, and then I have 20 more seconds. I could do that one more time, And it just turns into an hour and a half of trying the same thing over and over and over until you get it right. And then it's that, like, pure satisfaction that you're just thrilled, that it's just like, oh, thank goodness. Like, I conquered this thing, this one little puzzle in this stupid little game, and it's the most satisfying thing I've felt all week.
And the studio is a great example of that, because If you ever, I don't know how to put this in a way that doesn't make us sound like snobs, if you pick up an album, it doesn't matter what album it is of your favorite band. That's many, 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 many hours of work. And in a lot of cases, it's one little small tweak here or there, because somebody can stand in a live room and play their part on a track And when you play it back, you hear something, and it's one little tweak. And then, so you ask them to do it again, and then there's one little other tweak. And it's like, that's the whole job.
Yep.
And it's a great example of, like, that's a great analogy also, because that's the whole job. That's the whole job of a studio producer.
Yep.
And those that are really successful at it have that skill.
Yeah, for sure. So that was getting the completionist part of it out of the way, and then the final boss fight. It's just a classic Metroid boss fight. In some ways I was like, there was a little bit of a big, we'll be spoilerish a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe spoilerish a lot. We'll give away the whole ending of the game. I don't care. at this point, we're behind. But it does. We had talked about it in the last show how we were hoping it gets a kind of Super Metroid-ish, that it had a lot of kind of callbacks to Super Metroid playing the game. It doesn't do the whole, like, really lean into that, but it does have its moments. And there is an escape sequence at the end after you beat the final boss, which is fun. Like, that's a very classic Metroid thing to do. You get the, like, overpowered everything at the very end. And in this case, because you become Metroid, like, you turn into a Metroid for a moment, which is interesting. And then you turn back, which was a weird ending, that leaves itself open to more. Like, that was, you know, the whole tease coming into this game was like, this is the end of this, part of Samus's story or whatever. And at the end, it just leads you to, like, okay, we could just do another game. Like, she's ready to go again. Like, there's nothing at the end that's, like, finalized. Like, even at the end, it says, see you next adventure, you know, like the classic Metroid thing. And so I don't know what all that talk was about, because there's nothing at the end of that game that's finale-ish at all. That's saying this isn't going to happen again, which is nice. Please keep the door open for more of that. I will play every single one of those games that you put out. Please don't wait 15 years this time. Like, I need a couple more of these in my lifetime. Like, crank them out a little quicker now. But all that said, it's a satisfying boss fight. It took a lot of work to figure out all the patterns and stuff at the end. And then you finally get it and you get the escape sequence. The fact that I didn't die once on the escape sequence was honestly a little bit of a bummer. That's one thing about the Super Metroid escape sequence, is it's hard. It's easy to die on that escape sequence, and you have to go back and fight Mother Brain again. And so I was hoping for a little bit more challenge on the escape sequence, but it still has that adrenaline and everything at the end. That's fun. And then you feel like you accomplished something or whatever. It's a satisfying payoff.
It's a satisfying payoff. Which is good, because there's nothing about the actual into the game that's satisfying.
No, it's not.
I texted you after watching it, and I'm surprised you didn't respond to it, because the text that I sent you is, I'm not sure what I just saw.
Yeah.
And the reason why is what happens at the very end. Like, I thought they were going to do something that I would have been really cool with, which was, at the end, she's essentially a Metroid sucking up all the energy, and she's all bulked up. Like, she looks like a weird version of the Incredible Hulk. Like, I don't even know how she's, like, in the suit at that point. And so I thought it was going to be this issue where she just, like, jettisoned herself out into space, like, out of the ship. Because Adam actually says, don't touch that, you'll drain the energy from the ship. I thought she was going to do that, just jettison herself, and that would be it.
Yeah.
But then this Chozo guy shows up, nods his head, points his finger, and boom, she's back to herself.
Right.
And I'm like, wait, what the crap is that? if she would have literally, like, sucked the energy out of the ship and had, like, ejected herself out into space, I would have gone, yeah, okay, because she can't, I mean, she's a Metroid at this point.
Yeah.
Like, that makes total sense. It would have been I don't know if I would have called it a great ending if they had done that, but it would have made total sense.
And it would have been interesting, which the ending that's there is just not interesting. Again, we talked about this from the very beginning. It's not a game about story. If you're coming to Metroid looking for an interesting narrative, you're going to be sorely disappointed. It's my favorite game of the year, and I am a narrative guy. I like games that have a good story. But yeah, there's exceptions to the rule, and this is an exception to the rule.
It is, and I really thought that was what was going to happen. She was going to drain the energy, inject herself, and you know,
would have been way more interesting. Yeah, would have been at least something to talk about. that ending's nothing to talk about.
So I one part of it that is interesting to talk about because we're Nintendo fanboys is there is a pointer in there right at the beginning of the boss fight that says that this evil boss guy, Ravenbeak is his name, which is the worst name ever. It's
pretty awful.
but there's this pointer that maybe possibly in an alternate universe, this Ravenbeak dude was Samus's father because she was created in a lab.
Yeah.
That's what I got from that. Did you get that from that little sequence?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bizarre little part. But yeah, there was some weird, like, daddy issues going on in that last fight.
Yeah, and so, like, I'm like, okay, so Samus was created in a lab, and that's why I was pumped about what I thought was going to be the ending, because I'm like, she blows up her dad, and then she goes and
sails off into the sunset.
That's you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I was very interested in that, and then the Chosen dude shows up and does his bewitched thing, and she's back to normal.
Yeah, it was a letdown.
Yeah.
But again, who cares at that point? All the fun's done. They just got to figure out a way to get to the credits, you know? Like, you might as well, just as soon as, like, you blast the face off of the last guy at the very end, just roll credits at that point. There's nothing else that's needed. You made it to your ship. That was the whole goal the whole time. Good job. Like, who cares what happened after that? Like,
I talked about it last time. There's so much more that they could do with these games story-wise. But even if they did, that's still not what the game's about.
Yeah, and to be fair, they tried. Like, that's what Other M was. Like, Other M was them, like, trying to explore the narrative side of Samus more. And it just fell really flat. It felt weird because, like, some of the beauty of Samus is that, like, she's not a well-defined character outside of, like, just being awesome, right? Like, that's such a reductive way to look at it, but that's kind of like you kind of get to make up why she's awesome, you know? Like, it just, like, once you start, like, trying to flesh out her story, it takes away, like, her, like, aura, right? Like, right. You just lose some of what she is as a character when you try to force feed it to the player. And so this game, which just obviously went back to much more that original approach to Metroid, which is not a satisfying narrative, but is a wonderfully satisfying gameplay experience. And honestly, that's all I care about with Metroid. Like, give me a satisfying gameplay experience and I'm happy. If you could somehow make the narrative a little more interesting in there, I'm not going to say no, but I don't care. You know, it's to me, like, this is another, like, weird comparison to another game franchise, but it's very Diablo-ish to me in that way, too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care about Diablo's storyline. Like, whatever. Diablo shows up, wants to kill people. Like, oh, okay. Like, cool. Like, here's an archangel. Like, awesome. Like, whatever. I just want to kill stuff and have fun playing the game, you know? Like, it's just one of those games that's about gameplay. Metroid is a game that's about gameplay. And so, yeah. If you can, like, give me a little bit of narrative that's interesting within the gameplay, great. But if you're sacrificing the gameplay experience for narrative, you're missing the point.
We got to move to something else, but I want to make a point on Diablo since you made that point. I saw because Spider asked when we were going to play or buy Resurrected, I decided to go and see what people were saying about Resurrected. And I found this video talking about how to get rune words and how to get a really beefed up character for the end game. And I'm not going to speak for you, but in all the time that I've played Diablo, I never even got deep enough in the gameplay to mess with the rune words. I watched this thing for like 20 minutes. And that was just one thing that guy was talking about as far as ways to go through Diablo that I'm like, I didn't know that. Like, I just show up and hammer stuff. Like,
right. Yeah.
That's a great example, because apparently Diablo is extraordinarily deep and we get to a certain point with that, but it has like six other levels underneath that, apparently.
It's wild. Yeah. Our buddy Nathan, who I grew up with, a good friend of mine, who was on this show many, many, many years ago. We'll have to get back on sometime.
Yeah.
But he was one of those people with Diablo. He's the person who introduced me to Diablo when we were in high school, initially. But he was one of those people that is like, can tell you like exactly how much every stat on every item will affect your character, and is totally like min-maxing approach, or, you know, finding every whatever, you know. And I just have never been that guy. Like, I care about stats, obviously.
That's
part
too.
Of Diablo. You have to care about stats. But there's a point to me where it goes from being fun caring about the stats and finding loot to being tedious trying to keep up with everything. And I'm not interested in going that far. But it is really deep if you want to go that far into it. And to bring it back to Metroid really quick, this is one of the brilliant things about Metroid, is there are like little gameplay like hacks kind of things, especially in the older ones. I'm sure there are in this one too. I just don't know them, but I'm sure if I spend 2 minutes on the internet, I can go find people who have figured out all the like weird hacks, like the short spark that you can do is Super Metroid. That's like not really supposed to happen, like going through a door at the right, whatever, just all these little weird things, buggy kind of things that you can do in the games. But aside from that, like it kind of is what it is, right? Like there's no like leveling system. There's no like, item inventory or anything like that to get lost in. It just is gameplay. Again, like that's all it is. It's just a game about gameplay that's executed incredibly well. And there's something that's really freeing about that to me, that I don't have to worry about not getting it all. You know, like that with Diablo, there is this element of like, okay, well, if I really want to dedicate a lot of time to this game, I could get into it deeper and be here with these guys that are really deep into it. But that doesn't sound like that much fun to me. With Metroid.
I'll be honest, it didn't sound like fun to me at all. Like, I watched this 20-minute video and my head hurt. I don't want to think that much.
Hold that thought, because that's actually a theme I think we'll get back to in the news here in a little bit. I'm interested to get your thoughts on something we'll talk about when we get a little bit deeper into the news. Before that, all that being said, we are brought to you by Feels.com. Feels.com is a provider of premium CBD products, both a tincture and now the mints, both of which are products that we thoroughly enjoy.
Yes.
And you will too. We would highly encourage you to check them out. If you want to feel better, CBD is a great way to do that. And Feels is the best way to get your CBD. It's great for sleeplessness, for anxiety, all these things we've talked about before, pain management. Just right before the show, it's been a long day. Was dealing with stuff with the little girl, that kind of stuff. It was just, you know, like, I'm going to give me a little Feels before we go sit down and do this thing. And I feel better now than I did an hour ago. You know, like, it just is that thing. It's not like magic. It's not like it's just this little like boost, just like chilled out a little bit, like just feeling a little bit better, focused a little bit more. I'm exhausted. It's just been a long week. And so like just being able to focus a little bit more, all those things help a ton. It's great. It's fantastic.
When we turned on the mic, the first thing that came out of your mouth, I thought, oh crap, he's sick. Because I'm like, hey, he's totally sick. Yeah. And we've done this show sick before, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, we've done this show a lot sick before. But that was my first thought. and it occurs to me, the reason I bring this up is that if you take some feels before whatever you're doing, whether it's going for a run or doing a podcast or whatever, it just makes things easier.
Yeah.
Like it just, if you're feeling a little off, if you just aren't exactly right, it just makes things easier. That's the best way I know to describe it.
Yeah.
And it is, it's one of those products we say at every show that we would not have a product on this show that we wholeheartedly did not endorse. I'm going to go as far as to say this may be the best product that we've ever used on this show. Just for what it does for your daily life.
Yeah. Yeah, so. It's great. Tincture, a couple of drops of CBD oil under the tongue. It's fantastic. Again, the mints, I keep them in the console in the car on the way to work in the morning or, you know, coming home after a long day, either way, is really, really great. Awesome. So if you want to start feeling better with Feels, go by feels.com/GU podcast. That's feals.com/GU podcast. That'll get you 50% off that first order, plus free shipping. And then you can sign up for the subscription, which gets you 30% off after that. So feels.com/GU podcast.
Fantastic.
All right, so news. Let's we'll blow through a couple of things pretty quick here because some of them are kind of brutal, but worth talking about. So first of all, handful of things with Take Two, and then a few things with Activision Blizzard. Not all downers, some ups and downs with this. And so, really quick on Take Two. So news came out a couple of days ago that Take Two had canceled an unannounced project that had already cost them $53 million. So it's not like something that like was like, oh yeah, we're thinking about working on this. We're doing some conceptual stuff. And then never mind, we scrapped it. That's a big thing. The rumor at first was that it was Bully 2, that is a game that's long been anticipated. Bully came out, who knows how long at this point, long time ago. Since then it has come out that it's apparently probably not Bully 2, but a new IP that was about superheroes and had some online component or whatever and whatever and whatever. But just the fact that a $53 million game gets canceled, a game that's already taken $53 million, is a hit. At the same time, Take-Two announces that Grand Theft Auto 5 has sold 155 million copies. just nuts. The stat that I saw that just blew my mind about this is that by the end of the year, it will outsell the PlayStation 2, the console as a whole. And the PlayStation 2 is one of the best-selling consoles of all time. And Grand Theft Auto 5 will outsell. Now, to be fair, Grand Theft Auto 5 came out originally on the PlayStation 3, and so we've seen it over many iterations and cycles and that kind of stuff. But still, 155 million units sold for a video game is mind-blowing. Just mind-blowing.
I can we get, like, one-tenth of that revenue? Like, one-tenth!
Like, any of it. Like, a thousandth of it. Whatever. Like, that would be life-changing.
I mean, when I think about the idea that an IP has been canceled and they spent $53 million on that, and then I start thinking about what 10% of that would do for us and this show. Yeah. Like, it's nuts. And yeah. And I'm a capitalist for sure, but when I hear something like that and you're the cheapest man on the planet, I know you probably feel the same way. A little bit of conservative comes out in me, like, really? Like, we couldn't figure out how to turn that a little bit? You know what I'm saying? That's a lot of freaking money. Like, if I'm going to spend $53 million, I'm going to get something out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. for
and I that's mind bending to me.
Yeah, it's just wild. So that said, of course, we know the Grand Theft Auto trilogy is coming out next week, and so we'll be able to see that soon. I'm looking forward to San Andreas on Game Pass. But also, other San Andreas news, but we're not going to talk about it because it's absurd, but Facebook now has a new parent, or has changed the name of their parent company, right, to Meta.
Of course the Metaverse. They have.
Oh, it's just brutal. But anyway, with that, Oculus now lives under the Metaverse thing, whatever that is. But they announced that Grand Theft Auto San Andreas will also be coming, is in development for Quest 2. And so if you ever want to play San Andreas in the Quest, now you'll get an option to do that. Let me say really quickly on this, because I have a little bit of Grand Theft Auto VR experience. There is a mod that you can use to play Grand Theft Auto 5 in VR. And I have done that just a little bit. And the mod was flaky. This was, man, a year or two ago. It's been a little while. And so maybe it's better at this point. But it wasn't awful. And it was actually kind of fun being in like Grand Theft Auto in VR and just playing the kind of intro parts of Grand Theft Auto 5. Like I could actually get behind it. Like it could be a cool experience. It really needs to be developed specifically for the platform. Of course, that was a big issue with the game, is you're playing, you know, just like with a controller and a headset on. Not that that's the worst thing in the world, but if you really design it for the platform, it could be cool. At the same time, some of the things that you do in Grand Theft Auto would be horrifying to do in VR. And so it's one of those games I'm like, yeah, I like that. Wait, do I like that? Is that a good idea, or is this going to make me feel like a really, really awful human being?
So it's kind of on the same level of Half-Life Alyx if they do it right.
Yes.
Like that's one of those titles. If they put the time and the effort into it, I want to play that in VR, because I hadn't thought about it until you just said it. But not having that player character, you essentially being the player character in the Grand Theft Auto universe, that's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, could be super cool. If they could execute, that could be really fun. And I would hope that it's like, if you want to keep it in San Andreas and kind of follow the San Andreas like story or whatever, that's great. But you really got to update it to how you play it in VR, just is going to lend itself to a different gameplay style. And especially like Grand Theft Auto, that's all about like getting in a car, getting out of a car, getting in a car, getting out of a car. And that's two very different experiences in VR. You've got to figure out how to balance those things. And so I'm a little skeptical of it as a, you know, more than a novelty thing, but if you can pull it off, and I think Half-Life Alyx is a good analogy to, you know, obviously taking something that's very well established in non-VR world and executing it incredibly well in VR. If you could do something like that with Grand Theft Auto, that could be a game-changing moment for VR. Remember, like, the biggest issue with VR right now is that it just has such a tiny, tiny, tiny market share that there's just not a lot of compelling reasons that you need to go spend the money for it. But Grand Theft Auto 5 has sold 155 million copies. Like, there's an audience for Grand Theft Auto. If you could execute a really interesting, well-done Grand Theft Auto in VR, that could be a tipping point to actually making it a little bit more mainstream. Now, again, a game where you can beat down a hooker in VR is horrifying in a lot of ways, too. And so I don't know that it is the game that you want to, like, open up VR world for everybody, but it could be.
My brain is now working, and I think I've got a better example than Grand Theft Auto. Can you just stay with me for a second? Red Dead in VR.
Red Dead in VR would be really cool. And in part, and we'll have a little bit of Red Dead news here in just a second, but in part because of the pacing of it. Like,
yes.
that's the thing that separates those two games a lot in my mind, is that Grand Theft Auto is just kind of always frantic, where Red Dead is a lot more deliberate and at times frantic. And so, yes, I would think that Red Dead executed VR could actually work better than Grand Theft Auto. Bring me either or both, to be honest. You know, like, I mean, I would love to see what you do with them.
For crying out loud, you have in-laws that live in the country. I still technically live in the country, although it's not much the country anymore. Yeah. I would find Red Dead in VR just exhilarating, like on a horse riding through an area. And we've done that in real life. I've been on a horse, you've been on a horse. Neither one of us are good at it. And I think if I got on a horse at this point, I would probably die because I don't think I could stretch as far as I would need to be able to do that. But that's something that you and I both experienced in our lives in real life. And we're old enough now that we probably don't want to do that in real life for very long. And so I would be very interested in Red Dead and VR.
Yeah, me too. I really dig that idea. Speaking of which, a little bit of Red Dead news in the show notes. There is a rumor that a Red Dead Redemption remaster is being worked on, which I'm all for. So, full like disclosure here. I'll show you this too. So finishing Metroid, I've been at a loss of what to play next. And I've kind of been bouncing around, like, what do I need to go back to, or should we play something new? And so obviously, Deathloop is sitting there, and I want to get back to Deathloop, even though I got super frustrated with that playing it before with the save and all that kind of stuff. But we still have, Red Dead. We need to get back to Red Dead Redemption. I haven't finished that yet. And so this, in part, is encouraging me to maybe wait for that until we get a remaster. I'm okay with that. Final Fantasy DLC, The Last of Us. There's just a handful of things that I'm like, do I want to play Far Cry 6? Or do I want to go? And I've just been in stasis trying to figure out what of those I want to play. And this is what I've ended up playing. I don't know how well you can see this. It is retro football on my phone. It's basically Tecmo Bowl, like the touch controls.
I was going to say, it is Tecmo Bowl. Oh, my God. That's amazing.
it's free-to-play game on iOS that you can pay $1 to upgrade it to, like, the full version, which I very much did after I put enough time into it. I was like, yeah, why not? It's $1, and it's just this ridiculously fun little game. And that's not going to show up at all because the field is green on there. So I don't know what the green screen will do.
No, actually, whatever. It showed up really
well. It does
well
right now. Yeah. When I put the background in, we'll see what happens with it. Doesn't matter. That's what I've ended up playing. In my stasis of can't find a game to play, I ended up playing this $1 iPhone game that I've just fallen in love with.
So, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I kind of had the same thing happen. Like, you finished Metroid, and I'm like, what do we do now?
Yeah.
And I played some Batman last night specifically because I knew we were gonna do this show, and Batman's a very different thing. Batman's a very different thing to Metroid.
Yes.
But I knew we were gonna do this show, and I just kinda decided I needed to play something, and like, it was all right. But it's not the same feel. Like, I feel like I need to, like, go watch The Sopranos for a couple of weeks, or Game of Thrones. Or
you,
like,
just gotta do, like, a palate cleanser of some
right,
kind.
Right. Like, not really. Like, I'm not saying we don't want to play games. I'm just like, we just got done with this really fabulous game, and I don't want to just pick up anything at this point.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, it is a struggle. I'm curious if other people find that struggle too, because I definitely do. Whenever I finish a good game that I've been really heavily invested in, it is hard for me to move on from it. Like, everything else when I pick it up just doesn't feel right. And it just takes me a week or so before I can be like, okay, I'm ready to pick up something else.
What
outside
was it?
Of a football game on my phone.
Was it who that had the commercial about the show Hole, where
I don't remember that.
When you finish a show that you've been watching forever, you spend like 2 weeks trying to figure out what the next show is you're going to watch, and they called it a show hole.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. That's what it is. Like, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. I am in the game hole right now where I'm trying to figure out what to play next. I've also had no, like, spare time to actually play anything this week, and so it's not been a big issue from that standpoint, because honestly, I'm catching up on all the stuff that I didn't do while I was playing Metroid. So, you know. But I'm trying to figure out what that next thing is. I've gone back and forth a couple times. We'll see what it is. In the meantime, I will be playing Retro Football on my phone. Let me make sure that's actually the name of it, because I'm going to get Retro Bowl. It's just Retro Bowl. So like Tecmo Bowl, but Retro Bowl. And there's like, they have a soccer one too. I haven't looked at it yet, but that, if you're interested, I have found it ridiculously fun for something that I can, you know, play on my phone. So that said, a couple of quick things from Activision Blizzard, and then we'll talk just briefly about Elden Ring, and that'll probably be it. Go by gamingunscensored.com, see the show notes, because we won't get through them all, as is typical. Just really quick, we know all the stuff that's been happening with Activision Blizzard recently. News came out just the other day with a big kind of all kinds of business stuff from them that came out. One of the things was that Bobby Kotick, who has been infamous maybe for a while for taking such a high compensation as CEO of Activision Blizzard, is going to reduce his compensation to $62,000 for the foreseeable future until the board, the shareholders, decide that Activision Blizzard has done enough to address all the issues that have come up around workplace harassment and diversity and that kind of stuff. And so not that Bobby Kotick is hurting. I do not make a hero out of Bobby Kotick, please, for doing anything like this. Before this happened, he had a $155 million compensation package for this year. He's fine. Yeah, don't worry about him. But interesting to see how they're trying to approach this massive PR hole they've gotten themselves into.
Let me just point out that what that is a dude trying to keep his job.
Is a dude trying to keep his job. Which there are many reasons I don't think Bobby Kotick should have his job. This may be the most obvious one. And so, yeah, he's working hard.
I don't make 60 grand a year. I'm pretty sure I can do a better job doing his job for 60 grand a year. Like give me like 160 and I'm going to be doing a real good job. That's right. So, might want to look for a new CEO, folks.
Yeah, I'm again just shocked that he's lasted as long as he had. And now with all this stuff happening, just even more of a shock. So so there's that. They also announced a big shocker here that Overwatch 2 and Diablo 4 have been delayed. Who would have seen that coming?
I'm surprised. Absolutely. Yeah,
just blown away. I have to mention just really quick, there's an ad playing at the top of this story that's for a show or a movie. I don't know if it's a show or a movie on, because it's gone now, on Apple Plus, that is Will Ferrell and Paul Rudd. That's like looks like a drama, like about, it's called The Shrink Next Door. I don't know anything about it, based on a true story or whatever, first I've seen of it. But the idea of Will Ferrell and Paul Rudd at a show together, I'm immediately captivated by that. So.
And I love the title, The Shrink Next Door. The whole thing that is totally compelling to me about The Sopranos is the thing starts with him in a shrink's office.
Yeah,
like I love that. It's fantastic. So yeah, I would watch that. I've been coming up with a reason to invest in Apple Plus. I haven't had one. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, Ted Lasso, well, I didn't have to invest in it because they give it away with, like, when you buy a phone or whatever. And so when I got my phone, I got a year subscription of it, which was nice. And we just started taking use of it recently to watch Ted Lasso, which is pretty great. But then we got through that. Jon Stewart has a new show on there, so I've been watching that on Apple Plus. But there's also this show I just started this week on Apple that's turning into a TV show now, but whatever. That's called For All Mankind. That's like reimagining as an alternate history of the moon landing, that the Russians beat us to the moon. And so it's like set in the space race era, but it's about the U.S. trying to catch up to Russia, essentially, that like they're trying to match what Russia does. And it's I love the space race story. Like, I'm just fascinated with that in general.
I was going to ask, is Apple not the service that has the U.S. space series called The Right Stuff that's in that same vein?
Isn't there a show
called The Right Stuff that's kind of in that same vein, like 1960s space stuff? I've been really interested in seeing that, because that's another thing that you and I share. Like, that stuff's really interesting.
Yeah.
So, for sure. Yeah, I would thoroughly enjoy watching alternate reality space race.
It's really good. I've thoroughly enjoyed that. So neither here nor there.
Speaking of space, I don't know if you heard, this was the open on PTI yesterday, but apparently SpaceX is having an issue with their guys that they got up in space. Apparently the toilet is leaky. And so they are unable to use the toilet, whoever they have up there. So the joke was that they've had to move to other means. And you can take a guess at what that would be.
Yeah.
But man, the things that you have to think about when you're in space. Yeah.
Yeah. Good for them. That's it's a whole other thing.
we've been told that people love when we go off the rails, and I just only went off the rails there.
Yes.
I'm to bring it back, I'm glad that you're really watching Apple. I'm glad that you're watching Apple Plus, because I wondered if there's anything good on there.
It really is. It's like, just so far, everything that's been done is like really high quality, like HBO quality of, you know, cinematography and production value and that kind of stuff. And so that part of it's really, really nice. I don't know how compelling all their content is, but the one show I've gotten into, it scratches an itch for me. So I'll mention that. Sorry. One more show I'll mention that I watched too, that's absurd. It's like totally guilty pleasure, but I just loved, because it, again, scratched an itch, was Heels. Have you heard of Heels? It's on Stars, I think.
I have not heard of Heels.
It's about, these actually tied together, crazy enough too. It's about a wrestling, what's the word I'm looking for? Federation. And not that, just think of World Wrestling Federation off the top of my head, but like a small town, like wrestling, unit, you know, that they do like their own wrestling shows in this small town in Alabama. That's like, about, you know, the guy who writes it all, and his brother and him are like the two main characters in this wrestling world that they've created in small town Alabama, and their rivalry with another wrestling, outfit, that's based out of Jacksonville, Florida. And like, one of the guys that came out of this group went big and like was in the WWE or whatever, you know, or like a similar thing or whatever. I grew up watching professional wrestling. And
even though
I don't anymore, like, it's still like, there's something nostalgic about it. It is completely guilty pleasure. Like, it is a trashy show in a lot of ways, but it's a wonderfully trashy show. I would highly recommend. The guy who plays like the old timer that made it big and came back to this small town, and it's like this total like drunken, awful, like, dude, whatever, just miserable dude. It's Chris Bauer, I think is the actor's name, who's like a character actor in a million things. He is also in For All Mankind, and he's like the NASA administrator in that show. It's like very weird to watch those two shows back to back, where like the same dude is playing completely opposite characters from each other. But anyway, it's fantastic. Both of those are good.
I'm glad that you have Showtime, because that gives me the and we're totally off the rails, so I can bring this up. I'm very excited. I'm getting off. I'm getting off of an Amazon Amazon Music trial, and I'm looking for another way to get it free for another 3 months or something. They're doing a deal with Showtime, and the reason that I'm excited about that is that we have new Dexter coming at the end of the month. Are you into Dexter? Because it's like one of my favorite shows.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about new Dexter.
Me too. It's one of my all-time favorite shows too. There is, weirdly enough, I don't know that I've ever said this on this show. I've told other people this before. Of any TV character I've ever seen on TV that I relate to, I think Dexter is the character I relate to most outside of the serial killer aspect. Just to be clear, we don't share that in common. But almost everything else about that character is just like, I'm just like, that's me. Like, that character in so many ways is me. And so, yeah, I love Dexter because of that. But aside from the serial killer thing, just to be clear.
I never really thought about it, but if you want to rewind just like 5 minutes to his reaction to me talking about the astronauts, that's totally a Dexter response. Like, I'm just gonna walk away now. I'll see you later. Yeah, you're right. It's a total Dexter Morgan response.
Yep. Yeah.
Here's real quick. Here's what I'm wondering about with this short run Dexter. Like, the thing that I don't understand how they're going to do is there's no Deb, right? Like, Deb's not there. How do you have Dexter without Deb?
It's a good question.
There's
a lot of questions about it. Yeah, I'm really curious to see what they do to it, if they're trying to pass the torch in some way or whatever. Because it's called, is it New Blood or whatever it's called? Something like that. Young Blood, something like that. So it like is insinuating that there's going to be some progression here to maybe another character, see what happens. What's Harrison? Is that his son's name in the show?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Maybe Harrison's grown up now and has the same of whatever. So, yeah, who knows? But I'm excited about it because I do enjoy Dexter. So,
yeah.
All that said, one more quick gaming thing because I mentioned it. And so just since we teased it, might as well get to it for a brief moment. There is this Elden Ring gameplay preview out. And I think this is probably my most unpopular, at least modern gaming take. I just have yet to figure out From Software or Souls-like games. I just, like, I've tried a little bit with them. I know people adore them. They just don't click with me. The aesthetic's not my thing to start with. And this Elden Ring has kind of the same From Software aesthetic, though not quite, you know, as brooding and dark as some of the other games that From Software's done. If this wasn't From Software and if it didn't have George R. R. Martin's name attached to it, again, what his influence has been isn't completely clear at this point, but he's done something. If those two things weren't going along with this, I don't know that I would see this gameplay thing and go, that's something I have to play. But knowing it's From Software and knowing George R. R. Martin's involved and whatever, like, I'm like, yeah, we got to give it the time of day. I know, like, the internet's pumped about this, and it's one of those games, like we were talking about with Diablo, that, like, at some point Diablo can get to the point that it's not fun. I have yet to have, like, fun playing these games. I get the challenge, and some of it is like a Metroid-ish thing that is very much gameplay-based, and, like, if that gameplay mechanic... Oh, yeah, and you will die. If that gameplay mechanic, like, clicks with you, then I guess it is your thing. It just hasn't ever clicked with me, and I wish it would, and I just need somebody to tell me how to make it click, or maybe it doesn't click, and maybe I'm just not a fun software guy.
No, I think that you hit it. You know what it is? Yeah, I'll tell you exactly what it is. And it's the same for me. It's that all of these games, all of these Souls-like games, require time. And we're willing to give time for something that compels us because of some sort of the game play thing like Metroid. But all of these Souls-like games, it seems like their entire purpose, like the reason that they are built, is to be hard and to be a time sink. Like, that's what they are. That's what they're there to do. And if you are a gamer and gaming is all that you do and that's your hobby and you don't watch TV, you don't do movies, you don't do, I totally get it, because this gives you a place where you know you're going to spend time. I can't afford to do that and maybe not get anything out of it, but I think all of these games are specifically built to be time sinks.
And I
can't do that.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. I think going back to Metroid 2, like, I get, even though Metroid Dread has, like, brought in a lot of new people to the series, I think a lot of it's still nostalgia. And, like, the Souls-like thing happened after the period of my life I'm nostalgic about, you know? Like, I just, right. I don't have nostalgia for that. And some people do, you know? Like, some people have, like, Dark Souls nostalgia, and I just don't have that. And so if it's a thing like Metroid is, we're like Metroidvania games, like playing Ori, you know, it's also nostalgic to me, even though that's a modern game, because it harkens back to this game type that I played when I was young with Metroid and Castlevania and that kind of stuff. And so maybe that's part of it too. Yeah. I want to get into it. Maybe we'll try Elden Ring. It is different because it is more RPG-ish. It is more open world, which is a departure from what most of those From Software and Souls-like titles are. And so we'll see. I just have a hard time right now getting excited about it.
I really am happy for whatever George R.R. Martin did, but dude, would you please finish a book?
Right. Like,
seriously.
Priorities, man.
Just take like 3 weeks and finish a book, because I am not starting that series until that book is done. Just not. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Fair enough. Really quick on releases, Call of Duty Vanguard. Who knew? New Call of Duty. Big shocker there. Speaking of Activision Blizzard stuff, 77 on Metacritic, right now, which is what I'd expect from a Call of Duty game. Forza, this is a big one. Forza came out today, 91, Metacritic score. Forza is apparently
pretty
solid.
And that's on Game Pass, is it not?
It is. I don't know if it's on PC Game Pass, but it is on Game Pass. And so if you have an Xbox console, and Game Pass, you got it. Is sitting there waiting for you. So, and then there was one more I was going to mention, and I don't remember what it was now. But the one game that came out last week, but maybe that we need to play, is the Guardians of the Galaxy game that I've just seen people talking about how great that game is. I don't know. Maybe that's the next game.
I'm thinking that's our next game. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to play it. So maybe that's it. I'll think about it. But that might be where we go next, because it's apparently pretty good. And that would scratch a good itch, too. That sounds like a lot of fun to play.
Yes, absolutely.
So maybe that's where we're going. So maybe next week you can look forward to hearing some of our thoughts on Guardians of the Galaxy.
Perhaps, yes. I like having options. I like having options.
Yes, me too.
And I like this role that we're on of playing new games when other people play them. That's
isn't that nice? Like, yeah. I feel like we're current. We're with it.
Yeah, we're totally not. But okay, yeah. So I have to say that if we did miss a couple of things in the show notes that you need to go by the website for, one of which talks about the blockchain and NFTs, which I think is very, very interesting.
We just have to have more time to talk about that one. And it's not going away. So we'll get back to that for sure.
We joke about it, turning this show into an NFT and making some money. I don't think that'll happen, but we do talk about that, so definitely go by and check that out. There's always conversation going on the Facebook page. For once, somebody agrees with us. Holy cow. That's pretty amazing. I pretty much dig that. And of course, the Twitter, we're both on Twitter. I keep expecting that we're going to get banned. A friend of mine told me that she got banned the other day. I'm like, what?
Yeah, how do you get banned from Twitter? I guess there's a few things that have happened that have gotten people banned from Twitter, but it seems like you have to work at it.
Yeah, well, she didn't. So I keep expecting. If there's two guys that probably deserve to get banned from Twitter, it's us.
That's fair.
That's going to happen at some point, but we're there now. So go check that out. Of course, sure. The Patreon page, stuff over there. We appreciate those guys. We talked about that at the beginning of the show. If you would like to become a Patreon, patron, I should say, it's one click. It's super easy. We will take your money and spend it on games.
Yeah. Maybe Guardians of the Galaxy here in just a little bit. So
absolutely. Absolutely. So definitely go by and check that out. Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored. And for one more week, we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.